Before him, say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's certainly good to see everyone today. Good to have you here. You know, we were listening to the news. I'm not sure what day it was. Andrew, you might remember because you texted me. You know, last Sunday we prayed for the clerk of court, Kim Davis, you know, that was in jail because she wouldn't issue out licenses to with gay marriages and all that stuff. And so what day was she released?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
One of those days. So praise God that she will stand for what is right and stand for what is truth. We know what the Bible says, people. You know, gay marriage is not right. It's just not right. But we love these people. We love people because it says that God sent his son for all people. All people. It says this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And everybody needs a Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to a very familiar scripture, John 10:10. John 10:10. You might say, oh, yeah, I know that scripture. That's good. John 10:10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We all know the first part of that verse, John 10:10, which says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But this is what I want to concentrate on, is the second part of that. Because sometimes we forget about the second part, and we concentrate on the first one, which is okay, you know, for a certain aspect of life. But, you know, we need to remember the second part, which is the most important part. And it says this, that I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus says that he has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. You know, the one thing talking with people, been pastoring for a long time. But as we talk with people, and you find out that some people get depressed and all this stuff, and they're trying to find their meaning in life, you know, you're trying to find out, you know, why am I here, and what's, you know, and all this stuff. And we know from the Christian perspective that we are here to give honor to our God. God has made us. God has given us life. But Jesus says that he has given us life, and not just life, but to have it more abundantly. You know, people are looking for happiness. You know, what will make them happy? And you know, it's nothing wrong in having things. Nothing wrong in having a nice home. There's nothing wrong with having a nice vehicle. There's nothing wrong with having things, you know. Nothing wrong. Just so that they don't have you, your heart. If you're ever willing to give up anything, that means it does not have your heart. But if you struggle in giving up something, and we all probably struggle in some area, you know. But God says he's come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. I was talking with someone at work, my other job, and she just lost someone in her family. And, you know, I'll say, hey, how are you doing? We're on break. You know, just trying to help you. You know, how are you doing today? You know, I'm doing okay. And she looked at me and she said, you know, she said, I don't know if I want to keep on going on. And it kind of took me by surprise. You know, she's a Christian. Loves the Lord. Has been born again. Gave her life to the Lord. All this stuff. And I said, you don't know if you want to keep on going. She said, well, my main purpose was to take care. It was her father that passed away. And she said, I've done that. But she said, my purpose is gone. And man, I looked at her and I said, well, what about your husband? Well, whatever happens, he's going to have life insurance and now you'll get money. I said, I understand that. And so I said, well, how much you have? And so she said, well, $500,000. I said, well, he'll be well off. You know? And so she kind of smiled, you know, but, you know, just trying to keep it a little light there. And I said, you know, what about your children that need you? Yeah, but my purpose in life is gone. I said, you know, John 10:10, because I knew what I was for. I says, the latter part says that Jesus has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. And I said, you should not be living your life like you're living today. That you need to let Jesus give you that life to live for him, to bring honor and glory to him. Because that's why we're here, to have fellowship with the Father. To have fellowship with him. You know, and then we had to, break was over and we had to go, but she was left with that. I said, you need to look to him for that life and to have it not just life, but more abundantly with the word of God. You know, young people, teenagers, the number one thing, or one of the, it's close to number one, you know, as teenagers, people, they look at their lives and you'll hear a lot of them say, you know, they have no purpose. They just kind of, you know, going from one thing to another. And you'll see a lot of them, and I know we've seen and we've heard, and how many of them have taken their own lives, have ended their life. And it amazes me. I'm thinking, somebody that's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 has lost their purpose in life when they're just starting out and the whole world is before them. But the first part of that verse says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what he's trying to do, and yes, he tries to steal, kill, and destroy people out there, but also God's people. And he tries to steal from them, destroy everything they have, to make them think that there's no purpose in life, that God has given up on them. But let me tell you, Jesus says he's given us life and that we would have it more abundantly, that we would wake up in the morning with maybe a smile on our face saying, yes, okay, things may not be perfect in the world. Things may not be perfect on our jobs. Things may not be perfect in our churches. Things may not be perfect in the world. But yet we know the inner peace and the inner joy that God has given us. And we say we have a purpose. We have a purpose of sharing the gospel with people. Sharing that Jesus is the way and the only way. That we have something to give people. A purpose. You might say, well, Pastor, it may be easy for you. Let me tell you, it's not easy for anybody. But God has given life to us. When we were born again and we gave our lives to him, God has given us a purpose and a will to live for him, to not give up on anything. And not just life, just a little bit to get along, but more abundantly. You know what that means? It's like a bowl or a cup that's overflowing with water or whatever substance that is in it. That it's overflowing, and he's saying there's life. There's life. There's life. How much joy does it give you when you see your grandchildren or your children succeeding in life? How much joy does it give you when you see your spouse succeeding in life and doing God's purpose, doing something? My God, life on the inside of you. You see, when God made Adam and Eve, he was their central focus in life. They were clothed because they didn't have to wear clothes. They were clothed with the Spirit of the living God. But their central part in life was God. And we know when things happened, they sinned and all that stuff, and it broke that. That's why Jesus had to come and redeem us back unto him. That he gave us a purpose in life. Look, you are very valuable to God. I know we think, well, you know, that person down there, you know, whatever. You know, the drunk down the road, he's not worth a thing. And whoever else down the road is not worth much, you know. I mean, you know, you see people all over the place that are that barely have anything. Look, I see people living in homes with no electricity. I say, how do you know that? I know who gets electricity bills and who doesn't. I know who has a little box on their house that has a little thing turning that saying money, money, money is going. There's none. I got out of my postal vehicle and I gave some help to somebody, and there's another house on the other side, and I said, sir, does somebody actually live in that home? And he started laughing. He said, yes. I said, they have no electricity. He said, no. He said, they haven't had electricity since I've been living here. And it's been years and years and years. There's no electricity in the house. There's no paint on the outside of the house. There's boards missing. I mean, it's just, but that's all over. That's all over the place. And I said, oh, Lord, how blessed we are. How blessed we are of what the things that we have, people. The things that we have. People have a lot. People are going through some hard times and hard things. But you have to always remember that God protects his people. God gives unto his people. God helps his people. You might think you have a little hard, but let me tell you, we don't realize the person down the road that has a worse than us. We have a God in us that can, that as we go to him, he moves and takes care of us. That he supplies all of our needs and takes care of his people. He gives life to his people. Life to his people. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, even as we serve God, will we go through difficult times? Yes, sometimes. We may go through sorrow or disappointments. But we still have a God that is next to us. That the scripture says that sticks closer than a brother. Sticks closer than a brother. He gives life to us. I've learned this to be true. Just on a personal basis. That if I keep my eyes on Christ. If I keep my eyes on Christ, everything looks good. Listen. But when we get our eyes diverted off of him unto other things, everything looks bad. Now, that's not denying what may be going on. I'm not trying to say that. But let me take the focus. You know, it's like taking a telescope, you know, and you have to focus it. Or binoculars, you know. You know, you take binoculars, you know, and you really way out there. So, you know, you kind of looking and, you know, see what's going on. You see somebody walking way back there and you're thinking, what are they doing? You know, they shouldn't be there. So, you know, you have to focus, because if not, if you don't focus it right, it's very blurry. And you can't see clearly. So you put them on and you got to move a little bit here or there. And everybody's different because everybody's eyesight is basically different. So you got to focus it right that you can see it. We got to keep focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that gives life to his people. The issuer of life is being given unto us. So we got to keep focus on who? On Christ. And when we focus on anything else, things get blurry. And we can't perceive and think right. See, the greatest sermon, well, one of the last greatest sermon that Jesus preached was go into all the world and preach the gospel to all preachers. Preach preaching the gospel. He's declaring, saying, church, body of believers, preach my gospel. Tell people about me continuously. And when the church focuses in on something else, it will be destroyed. Its lack of purpose will be destroyed. So we got to make sure that we keep focus upon him and him alone, and what he has done for us, and what he accomplished for us. That our focus is never dim, but always clear and crisp, as we keep our focus on him and him alone, because he's the what? The issuer of life. I want you to turn here. If you would turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and I want to read some verses to you. And I'm probably going to read just a little bit more than what I usually read, because I want you to get the whole purpose or the whole concept of what's going on in it, in the scriptures. Look at verse 12 of Acts chapter 5. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, does no man join himself to them? But the people magnified them. That means they looked to all the apostles. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That means God kept adding and adding to the church. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There also came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. That means they were jealous. The religious group was jealous of what the apostles were doing. Well, what God was doing in the apostles. They were jealous of them. And so that means vexed. They were mad. They were upset. They were jealous. And so what they were trying to do is stop them from doing what God wanted them to do. See, that's the Spirit of the Lord. God's Holy Spirit will use any and every one of us as we allow him to use us. You know, God doesn't look and say, well, you know, I might use this and I might. God is looking for any and everyone that wants him. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are to God. God is looking at the heart of a man or a woman that's saying, Lord, send me. And these apostles were being used by God. And the religious group was saying, oh, no, 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 we can't let that happen. They were jealous of what God was doing. So you see, you always have to remember, when God is using you in ministry of some kind, might say, and not just preaching the gospel here behind the pulpit, but when you're preaching to someone, when you're telling them about the Lord, and you're praying with people saying, look, let me give you the right direction. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified and what he's done at Calvary's cross. And when the religious people start to hear this stuff, they get upset, they get mad, and they try to stop you however they can. They'll say all kinds of stuff about you. They'll say things about you that's not true. Whatever may happen. But let me tell you this. You just keep on going because God is on your side. You keep on going and doing what God wants you to do, and keep praying with people, keep helping people, keep drawing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says this, verse 18, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. Now, look, who wants to go to prison? Nobody. I mean, you know. Whoever wants to go to prison, something's wrong. Let's pray for you. Nobody wants to go to prison, you know. But these apostles, what they found them guilty of was preaching the gospel. And the religious people were upset. And they put him in prison. These apostles knew God, just as we know God. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next year or whatever. But let me tell you, we have to just trust Him, who can make every way possible as we trust in Him. Now look at this. They put him in prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. These apostles wouldn't have known that Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were prison door openers. See, we don't know God that He's our supplier till we need Him, and He supplies. We don't know that our God brings peace until we get in turmoil. We don't know our God until He does something for us and we find out who He is. These people were in prison. In prison. Now, it was a common prison. That means it wasn't maximum prison. But it still was prison. And it says this, and the angel Lord came and opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now look, let me stop there. The angel of the Lord went and opened the prison doors. These apostles went back to their homes, whatever they did, and the next day they went back to the temple and started preaching the gospel again. The officials didn't know that they were in the temple preaching the gospel. And he says, go and get those prisoners that we put in prison. And when they went, they weren't there. The miracle of our God. They weren't there. And he said, where are they? Where are they? But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found, we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when they had opened, we found no man within. Y'all, that's a miracle. The guards were still in front of the doors. You should have shouted right there. The guards are still in front of the doors, and they don't know where these people are. They don't know what's going on. We're going to see God move like we've never seen God move before as we trust in Him, because He is our God. We're going to see Him open up doors that we never thought He could open, or we never thought we could open, but God will come in and change things. My God, we need to trust Him more than ever before. As the Word says, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. You know what that really means? Lean not on our own minds, but lean upon what God can do. What God can do and wants to do through us. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And when the captain went with officers and brought them without violence, and they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest said, or asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in the name, this name, talking about Jesus? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You obey God rather than men. You obey God rather than men. You obey this word. Let me tell you. Lord, finish reading. Obey this word. I know we've had many decisions come down from You know, before I start with that, I believe in obeying the law. You have to obey things unless it's contrary to the word. You know, the speed limit says 25, you try to go 25. I mean, you know, some of us have heavy feet, and that's okay. We like to try to see how fast our vehicles can go. You know, just, hey, look, it says 120, let's see if we can go 120. You know, you gotta, let's see if it's correct or right, you know, if we can do it. We need to obey, you know, laws of our land that are righteous laws. Because a lot of our laws have come down, you know, have been used with the word of God and have followed the word. But, you know, we've seen a lot of things happen lately that is contrary to the word. You know, laws that are absolutely wrong. And when it comes to something that is absolutely defiant of the word of God, God is always truth. Doesn't matter what man says. What matters is what God says. What God says. If he's, you know, an amazing thing is man changes laws. I mean, today it's okay, tomorrow it's not. Or yesterday it wasn't, and today it's okay. But whatever God says was right yesterday is right today and right tomorrow. It says in the word that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, praise God. Thank God for his steadiness. Steadfastness, his steadiness of who he is. But you know what? We have to follow what God says is truth, no matter what. No matter what man says, we have to follow what is truth. And being the church of the living God, the whole body of Christ throughout the world, we got to stand on the truth of the gospel. No matter what man says, no matter what the culture says, you know, God's word says that it is wrong, and you know, for a man and a woman to live together. That's wrong. It's wrong. We know it. It's wrong. But man says it's okay. But it's not okay. It's not okay. And there are other things, and all, you know, I hate to even point out that, you know, that's not. But we need to stand upon the word of God to do what is right all the time. And you know, you might say, well, Pastor, I know there are some things in my heart. But you know what? You might say, Pastor, what do I do? Get it right. Just get it right. Ask forgiveness. Go to the Father. He's so merciful. He's so loving. And he's so kind. Make it right. I say, Pastor, I lied last week. I said something I know it wasn't truth. Or I did this. Go to the Father. The Bible says, go to the Father in Jesus' name. Ask him to forgive you. Let the blood of Jesus come and cleanse my heart and your heart and get things right with the Father. Because you see, John 10:10 says, the latter part, he's come to give us life. And to have it more abundantly. Because you see, things that we know are not right will destroy the inner core of our being. Will destroy those things on the inside of us. But you see, as we come to the Father and we ask him to forgive us, his love, his mercy, his grace comes upon our lives. And the blood of his son cleanses us from all things. From all things. So you see, we have to stand on what is right no matter what. No matter what the culture says. That doesn't mean, you know, we, you know, go out there and hate this and that. No. But we love the people and we hate the sin that's in them. Or in us. Okay. I mean, hey, let's face it. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, where would we be? Where would we be? Probably 6 feet under, you know, ground somewhere else. Because of the mercy of God and what he's done for us. And it says, and I'm not going to read the the next part. But I want to read just the main thing that I want to get to. It says this. It says they took the disciples, and they look at verse 39 of chapter 5. And, but if you be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they go not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And it says, and the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They took them as they brought them back in. They took them out of the temple because they were preaching the gospel again. And they said, didn't we tell you not to do that? And they said, look, who are we to obey, God or man? And they took the apostles and they beat them. I mean, I don't know any of us that have been beaten lately, you know. Maybe a few people wanted to, but, you know, they didn't. Or maybe a few people we wanted to beat up, you know, there's a few of them. That's okay. You know, some kids and whatever else. Not spouses, though. No. Don't do that. But you know what? They beat them. It wasn't just a slap in the face.
Like an NFL football player.
It was like a scourging going on. They beat them. It hurt. And they took them out and said, don't ever preach or teach in that name again. And they let them go. And the apostles said, We are worthy to go through all of this because of him. I wonder the tenacity that these apostles had. The fortitude that they had in them to serve God no matter what. To be such bold people that it didn't matter if they were beaten physically, that they were going to preach the gospel no matter what. To have such a relationship with God that it didn't matter what man had done to their bodies, but they were going to continue on. And honestly, they pushed further than ever before. Today, we have such a feel-good mentality of Christianity that we can't even, most pastors can't even say what's right or wrong. Because they don't want to offend. You can say what's wrong, but you need to say it in a loving way. Yes. To say things that would prick their hearts. Have we gotten to the place that we only serve God on our own terms? Or do we serve God on his terms and no matter what happens? Let me ask you a question, and don't answer, please. It's just a generic question. If you've been home today and you lost everything, I mean everything, like Job did. You lost your home. just because you were Christian, you lost your vehicles.
Did you see that?
You lost all your food in the freezer.
117
to 90.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everybody has a lot of
defense.
You lost everything.
The defense didn't get off the bus.
And they put you in prison. Would you still serve God? You know, most of us probably will never have to go through that. Who knows? But what if you lost it all? Would you still serve Him? See, it comes down to a place where, now, anybody say, well, you know, God has given us life and heaven. Yes, that is true. But if you lost it all, would you still serve Him? Or do we serve Him just to get things? Or do we serve Him out of love for the Father? And I know your heart. You serve Him because you love the Father. In Revelation chapter 3, put that scripture up if you would. Revelation 3, you got it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Look at this part. Keep it up, please. It says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now look at, I want to say something here.
I didn't know that.
To sup means to take drink, a drink or a liquid food by sips or spoonfuls. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with? Listen. God wants fellowship
back.
God wants time with you.
Their love is different, yeah.
God wants to talk with you. He's saying, yes, come sup with me. You know what that means? Come sit with your God. That's like taking a cup of hot coffee or any drink that you like, whatever it may be, and he takes a little sip, and you take a little sip. Now, you know, who can drink a very hot cup of coffee all at one time?
I can.
Yeah, it's going to kill you. You won't have a throat. You shouldn't even be drinking coffee. How old are you, boy? No, don't let him do that. You know, I'm messing. I'm not
cold coffee. Fantastic.
God says, come sip. That means take little sips. God is saying, I want time with you. God is saying, look, you take a little sip, I'll take a little sip. Because he, you know, God just doesn't rush in with you, and then he's like Batman or Robin and rush out. Or Spider-Man or whatever it is. But God is saying, son, daughter, come to me. Take time with you. Sup with me. And as we take time with him, he takes a little sip. That means just time with him. As we read his word, as we pray, as we seek his face, that God speaks to us things. God fellowships with us. Because you see, you are the most important thing to him. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for the dog down the road. He didn't die for the cat down the road. He didn't die for the cat or anything else. Or for the trees. Or what. And all those things are important. But he died for human beings. Because you see, you and I are made in the image of our God. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit man that lives on the inside of you. That will live on forever. Either when he comes for us as the rapture of the church, we'll go with him, or when we die, we will go to heaven. The spirit man will live on forever. 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 What we do here determines our destination tomorrow. That's why Jesus says, go into all the world. Tell people about me. Sup with me, my children. Get with me so I can share with you who I am. And you might say, well, what do I do? Look, you can be driving in your vehicle and just talking with the Lord. My God. You don't know how many times just walking on the road delivering mail that I do, that the Spirit of the Lord would just speak something to my spirit. Man, thank you, Lord. As I'm speaking in tongues, not, you know, just praying in tongues, praying and asking God to move, praying and asking God for revival in this place, asking God to move upon the people, asking God for direction and help and mercy and grace because of His love for us. He loves you. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know where I am. You don't know what's going on personally in my life. Let me tell you, I may not know everything, but God knows. God knows what you struggle with. God knows what I struggle with. God knows what struggles you have in certain things in your life. Just like He knows about myself. But He is a God that is there to help us, to give us the mercy and the grace and the help that we need, because He loves us and wants to give us life and have it more abundantly. And look at this. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Praise be unto God. I'm going to say, well, how can He do that? How can He have people that overcome? Let me tell you, everyone struggles with some things. But God has made a way, and that's trusting in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross to overcome alcohol, to overcome cigarettes, to overcome, all that junk, whatever. All that stuff we know, and that we pray and we ask God to help us to overcome. He says we would sit with Him on His throne. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't deserve to sit on your throne. Who do? None of us. Really? On His throne? The King of Kings sits on His throne. That He will grant, He will say, He will call out your name. Come and sit on my throne. I say, well, how can all these people sit with Him on? God can make all things possible. He can do it, and we don't even know how He does it. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's the kind of God you serve, that cares about you, that loves you, that wants to see success in your life, that wants to see you flourish in your life, that wants to bring life to your spirit. Call out to Him. Call out to Him. Call out to Him. Call out to Him. The author and finisher of our faith, as we sit upon that throne, overcomers. That means things we struggle with, that God helps us to overcome. Not in ourselves and not in the thing we've done, but helps us to overcome. And then when it's like, Lord, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you for your patience and kindness. I would ask you to do this if you wouldn't mind. Would you please bow your heads for just a minute? Just a minute. Just a minute. Before we dismiss, I want to ask you a very important question. And I want you to be truthful with yourself, okay? If you died today, I'll say it this way, would you open your eyes in heaven and see Jesus? If you're not sure, I need to pray with you. If you're saying, Pastor, I don't know. If you're not sure that you would enter heaven, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? I see your hand there. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Remember, the Father loves you. We love you. Let's all say this prayer together, because we have somebody that raised their hand and we want to pray together, okay? Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me and be with me. I declare you Lord over my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and we love you. And I pray y'all have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.